2 Corinthians 8. When you found your place, if it's where you're physically able, would you stand with me, please? As you're turning and standing, I'll mention a couple other prayer requests. Good to have our dear brother here from Old Fashioned Baptist. He asked if we'd remember their pastor, Brother Darnell, is in the hospital today, not doing well at all. So let's please remember him and that congregation. And then some of our older members would remember Terry Gilbert. Terry Gilbert passed away, and so remember that family, if you would. We're going to have a memorial service tomorrow for Terry, so remember that, if you would. Please remember that family. All right, let's go to our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9. One verse of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Amen. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. We're dealing these days on Sunday morning, taking a break from our study in the Gospel of John, on the subject entitled Treasures Unseen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege to bow in your presence this morning. Thank you for the sweet time that we've already had together, our church family in the house of God today. Truly, Lord, we could leave at this moment and say it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Thank you for feeding our soul from the Scripture. Thank you for stirring and ministering to our hearts in song, the congregational singing, the choir singing, the special. Thank you so much. I pray that you would receive it as our worship. May it be well-pleasing and acceptable in your sight. We thank you for the reading of the Word of God, and I pray now that you'd help us as we look to this passage of Scripture and others this morning. Open our minds and our hearts to the precious Word of God today. We do pray again that the Spirit of God, our teacher, be showing the things of Christ to me. May you be honored and glorified. Deal with those who are lost and undone, those who are cold and indifferent. Whatever's accomplished, Father, you will receive the glory. We plead the blood of the Lord Jesus. Have thine own will and way. Bind the forces of hell. We love you today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you for standing. Again, we're dealing with the subject these days during the Christmas season of treasures unseen. It's a little bit different series of messages for the Christmas time. However, it is what the Lord laid upon my heart. You're just going to have to trust me with that one. Amen. I told you last week, some might say, well, preacher, it's a little bit of a weird series for Christmas time. And I would concur. Amen. I would agree with you. But again, just trying to be obedient to the will of the Lord. We live in a society that has such a warped view and mentality of what they call treasures. But Jesus spake much about treasure, did he not? It is said that, and I've not counted it for myself personally, but it is said by men smarter than I am that Jesus spake more on the issue, the subject of treasure, more than any other subject during his earthly ministry. We dealt first in the first message with Jesus' proclamation about treasure found in Matthew chapter 6. Verses 19 through 21, Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Then we looked at a second message in Luke chapter number 12, verses 13 to 21. And we dealt with Jesus' parable concerning treasure. That text ends, of course, after Jesus giving the illustration of the rich fool. that failed to acknowledge God and His accomplishments. And that text ends in verse 21 with this from the words of our Lord Jesus, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." With the help of the Lord, I want to deal this morning with Jesus' portrayal of treasure from our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9. It's been a little bit different message than I'm used to. I usually love to preach expositorily from one text, but we'll look at a few passages of Scripture this morning. But dealing with the theme of Jesus' portrayal of treasure, again, our text, Paul said of the Lord Jesus, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." What an inexhaustible subject that is, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. One preacher said it's like trying to hug a mountain with one hug. You can't, it's impossible, amen. You have to come back and back again and back again and back again. You just never can get your arms around it. The inexhaustible subject of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. I'm interested in this phrase, through his poverty. Through his poverty. What was it about the Lord Jesus that Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, was deemed to pen these words, through his poverty? I believe there are many things we could consider there. I think the ultimate idea is that he emptied himself. He emptied himself. He identified. Amen. And I believe that's the main thrust, if you will, of the thought. Through his poverty, and through his poverty, bless the good name of the Lord, we have been made rich. I want to consider his poverty as seen, firstly, in his condescension. His poverty is seen in his condescension. Y'all with me this morning? Notice several things, if you will, if you're taking notes concerning the condescension of the Lord Jesus. I begin to ponder, as we are in this Christmas season, his condescension is seen in his delivery. Amen. In the delivery, the very delivery of the Lord Jesus, we could consider this morning the place of his delivery. And all of this certainly is not new truth. It's familiar truth, amen. But please, may we not be guilty this morning of allowing the familiarity with these truths to breed contempt in our heart, amen. May it be fresh truth to us, amen, this morning. May it be as though it's the first time that we heard this good news of Jesus coming into this sin-cursed earth, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Hallelujah. I see his condescension in his delivery. Verse number 7 of Luke 2, the Bible said, "She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." And a lot of people get hung up on this one thought, and they would like to present Mary and Joseph as poor individuals just because of the conditions that Jesus was born in. I personally believe that Mary and Joseph were not wealthy individuals. I believe that they lived comfortably. Amen. I believe they were, we would call them middle class. We would call them the working class. This scripture does not necessarily mean that just because Jesus was laid in a manger, that is speaking necessarily of his poverty, monetarily speaking. But I would say that it is speaking of his poverty in his identification, in that the Lord of glory, the King King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, left the portals of glory, my friend, where they're saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come, the one that heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool, the one who stepped out on nothing and spake everything into existence, the one, my friend, who owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, and as the country preacher said, the taters as well that are in them hills, amen, was brought forth of a virgin wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Oh yeah, I see his poverty there and his condescension. Oh, wonder of wonders that the God of glory, Brother Ethan, was laid in a manger. Now, you understand, Bible students understand that oftentimes our Christmas nativity scenes are not necessarily the case, true to the case and true to the conditions that are being spelled for us here in Luke 2. In all actuality, it was probably not a wooden stable. He was probably not laid in a wooden stall or a wooden manger. More than likely, true to the geographic location and true to the custom of that time, it's very possible that this place where Jesus is born is hewn out of rock, amen, hewn out of stone. What a depiction of the Lord of glory laid in a manger, in a cattle trough where animals were fed, amen, and he, hallelujah, would be the bread of life. He would be the food for all of mankind spiritually, amen. Oh, yes, he would be laid in a manger hewn out of stone, which would depict as well that he was not necessarily born to live, but he was born to die. Amen. In his very birth, I see his condescension in his delivery. The surroundings of the birth of the Lord Jesus were certainly very humble. And we would like to depict that manger scene as a very clean place. Are you listening to me? Even our nativity scenes that we set on our communion tables and we set in our houses. I mean, they're so very nice and very ornate. Amen. And I mean, they're painted in beauty and it's so certainly a work of art, amen. And I understand all of that, but you and I have to understand that this delivery place of the Lord of glory was not a very clean place. It was a dirty, oh my soul, it was a very dirty place. It was a very unclean place. It was a defiled place, amen. Just being quite frank with you, it probably didn't smell too good, amen. Oh, that was the condition. Can you see his poverty? Amen. This was not a place where a king should be born, but this was a place that our king was born. Amen. This was the place of his delivery. It speaks of his condescension, his identification with you and with me. His condescension is seen in the delivery, the place of his delivery. I began to ponder on the people of his delivery. Mary, Joseph, but especially those shepherds. As a matter of fact, you and I would not choose shepherds to be the first to receive such an announcement. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You and I would not choose the shepherds, the working class, those men, amen, that oftentimes were looked down upon. Amen. You and I probably would choose maybe the politician to receive this good news. Maybe you wouldn't. I don't know. maybe we would want to herald forth or to trumpet forth this kind of announcement. I mean with those who would go before him in an elaborate way, blowing the trumpet, riding chariots of gold. Amen. Yes, sir. Are you with me this morning? heralding forth good news. The King is born, the Lord of glory. Are y'all listening? Oh, we would choose there to be some grand announcement that would be heralded forth throughout the community, but not so with the delivery of he who was rich, yet he became poor, that through his poverty we might be made rich. I'm talking about his condescension. It was shepherds. It was the working class. Amen. It was those men who oftentimes were looked down upon in society. It is these men who receive this announcement. Amen. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Amen. Which is Christ the Lord. No wonder they came with haste and found the babe lying in a manger as it had been told them. No wonder they left that place, amen, with great excitement, with haste, telling everyone that they came in contact with, praising God and glorifying God for the things which they had heard and the things which they had seen. Oh, but what about this morning, that God would allow you and me, who, my friend, many of us, if not all of us, we're not wealthy individuals, amen. We're not well-known, famous individuals. We're just common individuals. But here we sit on a church pew this morning with Jesus in our heart and the Holy Ghost in our lives and a Bible in our hand. What about that? That God would allow you and me to be included in this great plan. That God would allow us, hallelujah, to be included in the family of God. His poverty is seen in his condescension, in the delivery. But also, not only his condescension in his delivery, but I ponder this thought in his dedication. In Luke chapter 2, we find as well, verse 21, that when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written of the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said of the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And I see in this little simple account of Jesus being dedicated, if you will, being presented to the Lord as was required in the Levitical law, a sacrifice as well was to be given at this time. And without going into a lot of detail, because there's more in the message that I would like to deal with, the very offering that Joseph and Mary choose to bring shows forth the poverty of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is the offering of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. We know this from Leviticus chapter number 12 and verse number 8, that this was the offering of those who were not able to bring a lamb. This was the offering of those who were not able to bring a more expensive offering, if you will. And within this offering, it speaks again of our Lord's identification with the poor. His identification with those who did not have the financial means as others had. Oh, what a Savior. His poverty is seen in his condescension, in his delivery, in his dedication, but also in his description. I'm talking about his condescension. Y'all with me this morning? In our very text, the Bible said in verse 21 that his name was to be called Jesus. What an identifying term. Oh, how he would identify with mankind in that name, Jesus. Jesus. As a matter of fact, there are other descriptive titles given of the Lord Jesus that would identify him in his condescension. As a matter of fact, one of the best texts, I believe personally, that would reveal this is found in Philippians chapter 2. I quote it oftentimes in verse number 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Y'all with me? Made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I don't believe we'd be doing justice to the text and ending it right there, for the Bible goes on to say, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of God the Father. But in his condescension, Jesus identifies with mankind in that term, Jesus. As a matter of fact, we could also see in his I'm talking about his condescension now. He's also referred to as a Nazarene. A Nazarene. You and I understand as we compare Scripture with Scripture, amen. I know this is nothing more than a Sunday school lesson this morning. Y'all bear with me. We'll be through in just a little bit. You can go get your crock pot lunch, amen. Yeah, y'all laughing at me, but I'm one up here looking at you. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Where was I at? Amen. I feel like Joe Biden here. Amen. You know as well as I do, that title Nazarene was not a flattering title. We're reminded of the words of Nathanael in John's Gospel, chapter number 1. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was known, or you listen to him, it was known for its sinfulness. It was known for its debauchery. It was known, amen, for its culture. And here the Bible refers to Jesus as a Nazarene. I love this. Paul picked up on it, no doubt, for the Bible tells us that in the book of Acts that they accused the Apostle Paul of being of this sect, S-E-C-T, this sect of the Nazarenes. Amen. Evidently, amen, they had tagged Paul with that term too. He identified with that Nazarene because that Nazarene identified with him. I'm telling you this morning, I see his condescension in his description. Jesus, yes, I know he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes, I understand he's Emmanuel, God with us, wonderful counsel of the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, everlasting Father. Amen. I get all that, but he's Jesus. Amen. He's the servant. He identified. He condescended. He who is rich became poor that we through his poverty might be rich. His poverty is seen in his condescension. His poverty is seen, secondly, in his transactions. What in the world do you mean, preacher? Well, I begin to ponder this. And again, I'm thinking of Jesus through his poverty. I thought about his trade. Mark 6:3, they accused Jesus. They said, is not this the carpenter? The carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simeon. His trade, he's a carpenter. You understand that the carpenter trade in Jesus' day, it wasn't a glamorous title. It was not a glamorous trade. He was not a wealthy individual. His trade, just a common man. Y'all with me? His poverty seen in his transactions. It's not this the carpenter. You understand he's not building high rises. He's not building townhomes like they are in Traveler's Rest on every corner. No, he's building with his hands. He's building a yoke for the farmer. Y'all not getting this. I'm getting blessed by it. He's building utensils that people eat with. I'm talking about his poverty seen in his trade. His poverty seen in his tent. Excuse me for my alliteration. It's an OCD thing. Luke 9:58, Jesus said to them, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." He became poor, that we through his poverty, y'all with me? He didn't have the American dream. I thought about even his triumphal entry, Luke chapter 19. We won't read all of these verses. I'm running out of time. Luke chapter 19, even the colt that he would ride in Jerusalem on was borrowed. I thought about his table in Luke 22. He told those disciples, he said, "You go look for a man. Tell him the master has need of that room." And he said, "It'll be furnished." Amen. He borrowed a table to enjoy that Last Supper with. Even his tomb was borrowed. I'm telling you, he became poor in his transactions. That sounds a little bit like you and me this morning. I don't know about you, amen, but my trade is not necessarily lucrative. It is for some. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not poor mouthing at all whatsoever. Amen. Church is good to me, good to our family. We're well taken care of. I'm very appreciative, very thankful for that, but I'm preaching before people that you're like me. Your trade's not lucrative. You're just common individuals. Not saying that the rich cannot be included, because they sure can be. Joseph of Arimathea, he was a disciple, though secretly for fear of the Jews, evidently was a wealthy individual. He's one that allowed the Lord to use his tomb. Many times our home as well, it's not extravagant. Amen. I don't own the home that I live in. The church does. Amen. And even most of the individuals that sit before me this morning, you really don't own what you have, although it's probably paid for. You have a note in your hand, but don't pay the taxes on it 1 year. Come knocking at your door. Isn't that amazing? You work all your lifetime, never own anything. That's another message for another time. Oh, how crooked. But I think there's a lesson in that. Jesus said it again. I know I'm. This is going all over the place. Y'all please excuse my scatteredness, but Jesus said, "The abundance of a man's life consisted not in the things which he has." I hope you're getting this. Yes, treasures unseen. Yes, triumphal entry, that what he rode in on was borrowed. I would most of what we rode into the church house with is borrowed. Not me, preacher. I paid that thing off a long time ago. Again, don't pay the taxes on it. They'll come get it. They'll sell it. The table, even the tomb, goodness, his poverty seen in his transactions. May I finish with this? His poverty seen in his crucifixion. The very death that he died showed forth his poverty. He who was rich became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Thought about Jesus as he stood before that mock trial, the Sanhedrin council. No representation. He's poor. The cruelty. They gambled for his clothes. They beat him. They spit in his face. They hang him in open shame. He's dying as a poor man. And no doubt, had it not been for Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus coming and begging and craving the body of Jesus, they would have thrown his body outside the city, amen, like they did those other common criminals. They would have thrown him on the trash pile. But of course, a fulfilled prophecy, we know that could not take place, amen, because he made his grave with the wicked, amen. He fulfilled every jot, every tittle. I'm just trying to point out to you that even in his crucifixion, he died in open shame as a poor individual in poverty. He completely emptied himself. Hallelujah. Died between two malefactors, two thieves. He died as a common criminal, although he had never spake a bad word, although he had never committed an ill deed, although he had never thought a bad thought. My friend, he died as a criminal. He who was rich became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Hallelujah. No wonder Paul said, but ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He completely get this now, and I'm going to pick up here next week and deal with the promise of treasures. He completely emptied himself. Are y'all listening to me? He completely emptied himself, identified, condescended, of low estate, that you and I might be rich. And I'm not preaching a health and wealth gospel. The riches that you and I have are not the riches of this world. They are treasures unseen. Let's stand this morning. I believe God is